as we move into the 4 o'clock hour here. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons, and we're live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice Shop Deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute at 617-779-7937. I see you waiting patiently there on the lines. We will get to you, I promise, but there is a growing chorus, I think, now, and it's getting louder over the course of today. I'm seeing it more online. People who think that Drake May, forget about your plan, forget about waiting for Miami or, you know, keeping him in bubble wrap any longer. Drake May should go out there. Long week. You got 10 days. Get him ready for San Francisco, and let's start the Drake May era with his first start and keep him as the starter now until you can't anymore. And what you just heard there from Gerard Mayo, Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback until I say he isn't. Not he's the quarterback. He's the quarterback until, as if it's inevitable, until I say he isn't, which implies that he plans to say at some point that he isn't. I don't think that was necessarily on purpose, but I do think there was some purpose behind those words. And with Gerard Mayo, I think that this is something that he's either going to get pressured into by contrast, maybe this was something he never really wanted, this plan with Drake May. Maybe he wanted him to go from week one on, and now he's getting his way. Either way, I do think that this whole timeline for Drake May, there's going to be some pressure now, and I think that there's going to be even louder over the course of this Sunday going into next week, people wanting to see him against the Niners.
So at various points, Gerard has tried to say, like, oh, I don't want Jacoby looking over his shoulder. But then more often than not, it's been, but that's some healthy stress.
Right.
And he, remember at one point he said something about there's a guy waiting in the wings that we're getting ready or something. And it's like, huh, mm-hmm. You keep saying I'm the quarterback, but you keep really mentioning a lot of ways that we're getting Drake May ready to take my job. And it's obvious it's going to happen. And you're right. It's funny because yesterday's game, I feel like, somehow the exact same game emboldened or strengthened both poles of the argument. I feel like the people that want him to play are like, it's time. I've seen enough of Jacoby.
Right.
It's May time. And then the others that are worried about playing him behind a bad offensive line are like, did you see that? You can't put Drake May in there. Now is the worst time. That line is terrible.
It was like the State of the Union last night. Everybody just got more entrenched.
Right,
that was
right.
Basically what it was, yeah.
You dug in with what you thought coming into the game, exiting that game. I am, as is so typical, I'm right down the middle, Mr. Objective Andy. No, I would not start him in San Francisco. On the road against that defense, we were just talking about the Jets getting their ass whooped in San Francisco, mm-hmm. right? That's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got thrown to the Wolves. Do you want
Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold kind of carved them up.
Well, okay. Counterexample. Touche. Yeah. Host one. Well done. But do you really want to throw Drake May out in that situation on a road game? You know, a game you're supposed to lose against a defense that can get after it a little bit and make your life tough against an offense that's probably going to score some points. So both sides, you're facing a tough defense and you're going to be chasing, which means, hey, Drake, good luck behind this line. I'm going to need you to drop back and throw it 30 times to try to come back in this game. I, as much as this game on Thursday night would have been the worst case scenario, in my opinion, to start him, next week is the second worst case scenario. Then after that, conversation is fully open. We're all on the table.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you want everything to be perfect and his entry into the league to be this perfect thing, then yeah, sure. But I'm sort of past that at this point. I'm ready for him to get the bumps and lumps and everything that you take as a rookie to just get that over with. That's sort of where I'm at with all this. Will it be a perfect thing? Will he get sacked a lot? Will he be running around, getting away from those Niners defenders? Yeah, probably. I mean, that's probably what's going to happen. I'd imagine that's what's going to happen. That's probably what's going to happen if they play the 49ers next year and he has an entire year under his belt. I mean, they're a good defense. You're going to see that. That's part of playing football in the NFL. I'm ready for him to start experiencing this. I don't think that there's really any reason to keep this thing going, this charade going right now of waiting for the perfect time. There's not going to be a perfect time this year, I don't think.
Correct.
I think you might as well just get this thing going. Start the clock. Like that's how I feel. And let's get him a little bit closer to the quarterback we want him to be. And if that means he has to start off in a hostile environment against a good team, oh well. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's other quarterbacks out there that started their career the same way and they were fine. I don't think it's going
to.
One game's going
to
ruin him, and I don't think that it's going to really do him any favors to just keep pushing this off. Just get it over with, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get this thing going here.
But it's only week four. I mean, he doesn't have to start in San Francisco. I don't, like, there's no real urgency. You decided there was no urgency when you didn't start him day one.
Right, right, but that's what I'm saying. I wanted him to start day one to get to, for what I just said, for them to get this going already.
But they didn't, so they don't feel any urgency, and it's a worse spot. It's a much worse spot than week one even would have been. I would have been more okay with week one and week two, and now he might be ready for the Jets and the Niners. You didn't give him any chance to get up to speed. The offensive line is banged up and worse, so I would wait till after San Francisco to figure it out. But am I the only one who thought, and probably the answer is yes, Andy, because you have a weird brain and think of weird things. They had a cutaway late in the game, probably right before Drake came in, where it was Drake and Jacoby sitting on the bench, and they both looked kind of sad. Jacoby was beat up, and Drake was just like the young guy. And it reminded me of Billy Madison when the young kids are like, I can't wait to get to high school. And he's like,
yeah,
don't you ever say that. Stay here as long. And it was like Drake saying, I can't wait to get in the game. And he's like, don't
Brissette's
say
like,
that.
You want no part of this offensive line, trust me.
You don't. Stay on this bench as long. Grab his fat little cheeks. Stay on this bench as long as you can, Drake. You don't ever go out there. And there's some truth to that. Because Drake may want to play, but it's going to get real and real fast when he gets out there. It's going to be, there's going to be lumps. There's going to be bad times. And as we've seen all over, Bryce Young, the classic example, but more importantly, how do we think Gerard Mayo is going to handle it when he does Will Levis type things? Because he will. He's going to throw like a pitch that some D end picks off and goes the other way, and Gerard Mayo's going to be thinking.
He's going to throw a pitch that gets picked off.
Yep, that's, there's going to be dumb. I'm telling you.
That's a very specific prediction. Something you don't see very often. And yeah, I mean, listen, he's going to have problems. Obviously, he's going to have problems. That's going to happen in his first game regardless, whenever his first game is. Let's just get his first game over. I think so. I think any rookie quarterback, you're going to see that.
It's more likely to happen against a good defense than a lesser defense.
Sure.
And the 49ers are a better defense than the Dolphins, and it might who knows what the Dolphins are going to be with Skylar Thompson. They may not score a lot of points. They may be frustrated themselves. Maybe you can
Drake May doesn't have to go against Skylar Thompson. He has to go against the defense, and that's sort of the point.
Oh, he absolutely has to go against Skylar Thompson. Just like last night, Jacoby Brissett had to go against Aaron Rodgers, and when Aaron Rodgers went right down the field and it was 7 and then put another 7, Jacoby Brissett's like, oh, so I can't just turn around and hand the ball off and we're going to win this game with ease tonight? You're absolutely, the way this team is built, every team.
They would have had to win the game 3-0 then. I mean, come on. Like, Aaron Rodgers, it was obviously not a great thing to see him putting up all those points, but it's not like that mattered to Jacoby Brissett. He gave him field goal range one time, and it was because they had 2 penalties. I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers had much to do with that. I think it was just a question of, you're not equipped for this. You can't go against this defense. This is a team that just outclasses you, and that's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's gonna keep happening.
Yeah, no, it is gonna. But he is absolutely going against the quarterback too. Like, the quarterback matters, right? Like, it's that
to
old
an extent.
Thing.
Yes,
I mean,
such a mismatch. I don't know. I mean,
it was a home game for the Chargers, but Justin Herbert's first game was against Kansas City the year after they won the Super Bowl.
And you're going against Patrick Mahomes. You go into that game saying, probably not going to win a 10-7 battle today. Probably going to have to score some points.
They lost 23-20 in overtime.
That was back when they scored more points than they
scored
these days.
The way, before we go to break here and before we hear what's trending from Brian, Alex Van Pelt today, he had a take on what would be more beneficial for Drake May this season, either playing or watching. Here's what he said.
I'm just curious, in terms of developing Drake, what you feel is the better course of action at this stage, him learning by watching or by playing?
I still think it's by watching. I think there's a lot to be learned yet. And that's where I'll stand on that. I think Jacoby is our starter, like Coach said. And until that changes, I think we got to do everything we can to get the starter ready to win a game on Sunday.
Okay. Alex Van Pelt still thinks all the value is in watching.
Yeah, and
Gerard
I feel like
Mayo,
Alex Van Pelt is making the decision. I'll be honest.
It sounds like it, because Gerard Mayo says
Mayo's getting very defensive about it.
Yeah, football players get better playing football, and here he is saying, no, you get better by watching, and what's he doing? He's watching. 617-779-790, that's a good point. 93.7 is the phone number. We got full phone lines right now. We will get to all your phone calls right after Brian tells you what's trending. Gerard Mayo after the game, I'd agree with him there. I don't think they did anything very well. Not good in any sense of the game, except for punting. There were some good punts, but it didn't end up mattering, because even after these good punts, the Jets would still take it down the field, get in the good field position or score. Not one three and out the whole game. That messed me up when I went back and checked. I was like, they must have stopped them once or twice. And there were times where they didn't drive all the way down and score. But there was not one three and out the entire game for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And I don't know. I mean, of all the things you look at, we asked yesterday, Andy, which coach has the most pressure on him? Which coach has the most to prove? Whatever your answer was, none of them proved it. I mean, they all looked pretty bad. I'd say it was a bad day for Covington. It was a bad day for Van Pelt. And it was a bad day all in all for Jerod Mayo. Let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Paul in Rhode Island's been waiting a while. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You got
listen, we got out quarterback, we got out coach, we got out out defensive coach, out yep. offensive coach.
All
you know
coaches.
What? You know what? This guy wanted to prove something. He gypped those people in New York last year with that horrendous injury, and he wanted something to prove. And that's all we got.
What did he do?
I mean, yeah, he got that big injury last year.
Right.
And the people in New York got gypped.
I see. Okay. I wasn't sure where you were going with that. I mean, yeah, I mean, the injuries happen. I don't think that there was any sort of skullduggery going on there. But, yeah, you got outdone basically in every phase. You got outcoached. You got outplayed. You really got outclassed. I mean, that looked like the type of game where, you know, early on in the college football season, you see Ohio State take on Akron or something. You know, like it was one of those type of games.
You mean a talent differential?
Big time.
Yes, because I think Paul was kind of insinuating that this was some moment of destiny for Aaron Rodgers at MetLife Stadium, and like no one was going to stop him. The 85 Bears weren't going to, like, I don't think it was that. I think he came out, he saw a defense that he could really do what he wanted to against. As you said, all the coordinators, all the coaches failed in their preparation, having players energy ready, but also scheme ready. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. I want to play a little audio from DeMarcus Covington about, don't blame me, it's not the scheme.
Right.
But I don't think this was anything more than a simple bad spot for the Patriots. You're not all that talented. Aaron Rodgers' team is more talented, and they're playing better each and every week, and you may be playing worse each and every week.
Pat is in the car with a thought on the O-line. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Pat.
Before I get to my question, Andy, it is so wonderful to see you be full-time, and I think you guys work well together.
Thank you, Pat.
Anyways, my question is, on the offensive line, how did they go from the first game against Cincinnati, which they looked like they were, you know, they were playing pretty well, to a game like last night? I mean, is there any way they can pick up any play? Like off a scrap heap? I mean, can they do that at this time?
Yeah, they've already done it. Pat, they already did it. They already picked up some guys off the scrap heap. That guy, DeMontre Jacobs, is someone they literally picked up off the scrap heap from Denver. They cut him, and they brought him in. I mean, that's what you're doing now. This is what you are. This is your these are your only real lines of doing anything, that or perhaps making a trade. And I would have no problem with them going out there making a trade for a tackle. I don't know what it would take. I don't know if anybody's got any on the trade block or what the deal is, but I mean, and I also don't think that'll necessarily fix this team. But in terms of keeping your quarterback somewhat upright and not having them running for their life every snap, like that would be beneficial, I think, to either Jacoby Brissett or Drake May or both of them, whatever. But yeah, I mean, this can't go on like this. You're not gonna have a season with this.
I'm not a pro player, pro personnel director like that knows every roster and the third and fourth tackle and who's trade worthy. But you know, for example, the Jets drafted Fashanu in the first round. They have Moses playing, and now Moses is hurt, and Fashanu gets forced out there. Is that a team that, over the course of time, could have said, well, Fashanu is way better. We're putting him in the lineup. We have a veteran we could trade. But are they going to trade with the Patriots? I don't know. I don't know if the Patriots are looking to do that. You know, the other name that I've thrown out there all along that made sense in a weird way was Trent Brown. They drafted Mims. If Mims was ready and they were going to go with Orlando Brown and Mims, would Trent Brown be available? Maybe. Would the Patriots be interested? I don't think so. Bakhtiari's a guy that you've brought up as a, you know, a veteran kind of. Does he have anything left in the tank? The problem is there are not 64 tackles in professional football that are worthy of playing. We're seeing that because the Patriots don't have them.
Patriots have like eight that are not worthy of playing.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I think you could collect a ninth who probably isn't worthy of playing, whether he's too old, too injured, not good enough. Like, if you take some other team's fourth tackle, because I don't think most teams are going to trade their third tackle. They'd probably trade their fourth tackle, right? And probably, most teams' fourth tackle is probably not all that good. He might be incrementally better than something you have, but does that fix anything? What do you have to give up? So, no, that's my point. For the people that want to wait until things are ready for Drake May, the offensive line is not going to be ready this year. It's going to be a bad offensive line. Maybe not as bad as last night, but it's going to be a bad offensive line.
Steve is in Everett. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with Andy 100%. I mean, why are we rushing here, okay? This team, if it's going to win 3 to 4 games, we're going to be lucky, okay? This team is going to be bad in the next 3 to 5 years, maybe more. Okay, the offensive line stinks. There's no receivers, and then you want to put your number 3 pick, okay? Just because last night it was a nightmare. It's insane. Relax.
Steve, if you're not going to be good for 3 to 5 years, then your rookie quarterback's contract is going to be up by then. All right. So if it's a 3 to 5 year rebuild, you're going to have learn what? If he's going to suck for 5 years, what's the difference?
Let him learn. Let them retool. Let them rebuild. Let's be patient. I mean, we're not patient. I mean, we just want this team to go to the playoffs. It's not going. Not this year, okay?
They're definitely not going this year, Steve.
If you tell me in game 16, 15, you're putting me in, that's fine. Not tomorrow. Not with the 49ers. The team stinks. Let's be patient and rebuild.
All right. Thanks for the call, Steve. And I love the passion. You can call back anytime. It was a good call. But come on. If they're going to suck for 3 to 5 years, then forget about your third overall pick. You have to go back into the draft. You're going to have to go figure out the quarterback position some other way. And this entire rebuild's basically bleeped, if you ask me. I mean, you base the whole thing around the quarterback, and you're not going to be good for 3 to 5 years. That's a contract. That's a rookie contract. You don't, what, you're going to sign him the big money after sucking for 5 years? No one does that. That's not smart football. It's not smart business. That just doesn't make sense. That's bad team building. And that's the type of cycle we were talking about earlier. Those are the type of cycles you see bad teams get into. All right? They can't put a team around their rookie quarterback, and so they just kind of spiral over and over again and keep flaming out with these, you know, Mark Sanchez and Geno Smiths and Zach Wilson and all these other quarterbacks, like the Jets over the years. I mean, that's what happened. And you saw it with other teams, too. It's not just them. I mean, bad teams, that's the cycle that they get into. And I would hate to see that happen right away here with Jerod Mayo.
I would, too. And there's no chance of you waiting multiple years. I don't think there's chance of waiting multiple months. I think Drake May... Originally, I put the deadline at Halloween. I really thought if you got to Halloween and he's not playing, then something's gone wrong, really wrong. Now, maybe someone would argue the thing that went really wrong was the offensive line, and that's why you wouldn't see him. But I think even in his development, I will say, do you notice, is this just me, when you see him on the sideline or even last night when he came into the huddle, he does look really young, really young.
He does. He does.
Yeah. And not that matters, you know, there's people that have baby faces.
Yeah.
He could be year 5 and starting and look young. But he does, it's almost a visual reminder of, yeah, he is a 22-year-old quarterback with, you know, questionable experience at times and not a lot of football, according to Belichick, under his belt, and the development isn't there. But I love Steve's call, my favorite call. First of all, you yelled at him and he yelled back, so he can call back anytime.
Anytime he wants.
But you're not waiting... I mean, if it's three to five years,
I was right.
Well, but 3 to 5 years, it won't be Drake May, it won't be Jerod Mayo, and it won't be Elliott Wolf if they still stink in 5 years. None of those guys will be around.
No one's that patient. The crafts are not that patient.
Nope. Well, they were that patient to wait for Jerod. They picked him 5 years ago, but
yeah,
that's a different story.
That was sounded like a little Taylor Rooks fib, if you ask me. Kevin's in the truck. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello, Kevin.
Hi. Welcome aboard, Andy Hart, the fellow Jaylen Brown guy.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, here's the gig. Do you know what to start him? That offensive line's going to get beat up all the time. He'll get plenty of time playing late in the game. Let him build up a rhythm. Let him get used to the speed of the game. And let Jacoby Brissett take the beating for 3 quarters.
You know what, Kevin? That's the best argument. That's the best argument for not starting Drake May that I've heard, is that you're going to get a lot of garbage time with this team. And that's right. I mean, you definitely are. That's not the first game you're going to see some garbage time at the end where no one's doing anything and you're just, you know, putting somebody out there just to get some yards and build some confidence.
This week.
You're probably going to see that, yeah, next week against San Francisco.
Next week,
I agree.
Although so that only
I think
gets
that makes sense. I mean, you'll get reps that way. You get NFL reps that way.
What does that give you? Like four total games? Let's just say you play the fourth quarter of every blowout. At max, it only gets you like four games total of experience. And he didn't even play the whole quarter. He played the last few minutes. So
like last five minutes, I think it was.
Yeah. If you're really looking to get him reps, maybe that's the way to ease into it. Garbage time for a month. Maybe we've started the garbage time in week three, and maybe that takes you to mid-October sometime of just garbage time. Because there's a chance you could get garbage time in San Francisco. Who knows? The Dolphins still have a lot of talent, even though the quarterback is a question right now. You could have garbage time in that game. Maybe you play those few garbage times, and then after a few servings of garbage time, you say, okay, he looks better. Maybe he doesn't throw it directly to the other team his first pass getting out there like he did last night. And then maybe that makes you more comfortable to play him. But I still think Gerard Mayo's face, did you think Gerard Mayo's face was telling last night when they kept doing the cutaways on the sideline, the real
He looked frustrated. I saw a lot of dang and damn and, you know, that sort of thing. Like he was not much of a poker face. I give you that.
No. He was not happy.
He was
and
frustrated.
I thought he had a similar face today in his Zoom, not happy. Mm-hmm. Just like a resting you-know-what face after the game. And I think he's going to get frustrated, and at some point I think he's going to say, I'm the damn head coach. It's time to – Alex, I appreciate what you were trying to do, and we're trying to develop him, and I you're the guy. We got to put this guy in. It's time. We can't continue to keep insanity cycle going. We got to put him in.
Yeah, and I think if it doesn't come from him, it may come from above. You know, like I think that's entirely possible too. From above, Gerard
Mayo. It is not time.
Not from the Lord, aka Tim Tebow.
Tebow.
John is in the car. He has a thought on Alex Van Pelt. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, I think you're absolutely right because, like, I mean. I can take all these callers dropping every cliche in the book about why Jacoby Brissett has to continue to start. But when I hear things like Alex Van Pelt sounding exactly like them and saying, well, he's got to sit there and learn. What is he learning? What is he learning? He's sitting here watching. It's like watching a long-term sub who's taken over for your kid's second-grade teacher who's out on maternity leave because they're having a kid. Like, he's not going to learn anything from there. You're not going to learn anything for 16 weeks for having a long-term sub. The same thing with Jacoby. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this Red Sox bullpen by committee stuff, I do hope that Mayo, like, grows the set and says, I am the coach. I got to make a decision or we're all going to be losing our job in a year or two because this is ridiculous. Like, they have to make a move.
Thank you for the call, John. By the way, love fest for Andy Hart on the phones today. Have you noticed this? Every single caller.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, Brian, you did a great job with all the highlights of the game. Can we cut all these great, you know, Andy Hart calls?
Just a montage of Andy love? Yeah.
This is unbelievable today.
Smart. Yeah.
They're sticking up for him after he wasn't part of the Thursday Night Football.
I was just thinking maybe he rallied the troops a little bit here. You know, like, come on, guys. I'm really falling below host one over here in the
queue. I don't care. I appreciate it. I appreciate my listeners and my people. These are my people. With John's call, though, do you want Drake May watching bad football? Is there any value in watching bad football? Is he watching what to do or what not to do?
Good question. If he's watching Aaron Rodgers, he's maybe getting this.
I was going to say, they're just going to show him the tape of the other team. They're like, just look what they're doing. Don't look what we're doing. Look what the other team's doing.
But I'm kind of being Aaron Rodgers, man. Like, you're watching Jacoby Brissett get hit. You're watching him miss some throws. Like, you're watching him not bring the same skill you bring. Like, what is he taking from it? What is he learning? Has, you know, how to be tough and get up? How to be a man? The way, you know, Jacoby Brissett said about it. I'm a man. I'm a big guy. I'll always get up.
Maybe. I mean, that's pretty much it. And not turning the ball over, making good decisions, I guess, is those two things.
Yeah, I guess. But the tough part, I don't really want him to learn that well. I don't want you to take a lot of hits. I actually want you to make a better decision or get the hell out of there quicker and avoid the hit, make a play. So that's an interesting angle. If football gets so bad Do you want the guy watching bad football when he might be able to do a better job and learn on his own by experiencing rather than watching the bad football that's going on?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that makes perfect sense.
So you like a
caller. They should have started that from the first week. I don't think we all knew this was going to be bad, ugly quarterback play football here this entire season. So I don't really think there was any reason to do this charade of a couple of weeks or 5 weeks or 10 weeks, whatever it is. They could have just put him in there to begin with. I think that would have made more sense. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. A lot of you still waiting patiently on the phones. We will get to your phone calls. And when we come back, The theme that I heard, and Jacoby Brissett, I think, summed it up perfectly when he said, "No, that wasn't the scheme. They just beat our ass." We're gonna reminisce over some memorable Patriots ass beatings in recent years, and we'll do that next. I enjoyed that quote in the post game. I liked that Brissett just sort of cut off the line of questioning about the scheme. He's like, "Guys, it wasn't the scheme. We just took an ass beating." Is what I it was funny. It was honest. It was real. It was sincere. I thought that was a good quote, good soundbite there from Mr. Brissett. And he's right. I mean, that is exactly what happened. And it got me thinking about other times the Patriots got their asses beaten. There's not a lot of examples over the years. I mean, there weren't a lot of real ass beatings during the Brady and Belichick years. There's a couple I can think of. And there's certainly been a good deal more of those lately. Last year, you remember those that back-to-back Cowboy and Saints games where they just got absolutely hammered. I remember a guy, I think it was during the COVID year when they got smoked by San Francisco. Ass beatings over the years. There was the Peyton Hillis game. You remember that one, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was 2009 when they played Drew Brees and the Saints and just got absolutely carved up.
That's the famous one.
I think that's one that stands out to me as well.
That's the documentary of Bill and Tom on the sideline. I just can't get this team to do what I want it to do or whatever.
That's right. That was football life. You're right about it. So I forgot about that. That's exactly right.
But that Browns one? That Browns one sticks out to me. That was an ass kicking. That was a surprise one. But they had them every once in a while, but that's the thing. They were one-offs, and because they were so good, you know, you kind of go back to reality,
right?
And you know, what was the score in the Kansas City, the famous
41-14?
Yeah, Kansas City onto Cincinnati is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Giardi famously asked, "Is the quarterback position going to be evaluated?" Wow, how far we've fallen. Tom Brady was being evaluated according to Mike Giardi, and now we're evaluating Jacoby Brissett getting his ass whipped.
How about 2009 wild card game against the Ravens? They lost 33-14. Joe Flacco had 34 yards passing.
Yeah, I was at that game, the Ray Rice game. Yep, I was there. We just got in our seats, and boom. And it was freezing cold that day, I remember, because I was holding the beer, and it was so cold that I dropped my beer, and the beer splashed up, and it landed in this lady's hair, and it froze in her hair. And this lady had frozen beer hair for the rest of the game. And I felt bad about that because it was my fault. But yeah, it was very cold that day, and Ray Rice had that 80-yard run on the first play.
Yep.
Because Brandon Merriweather fell for every trick in the book. And it got worse from there as the game went on. So yeah, I mean, that was also 2009. So
that was also an emotional one because that was on the heels of Wes Welker, sort of the centerpiece of your offense,
right,
getting hurt in the season finale in Houston. Right. So there was.
So where does this stack up with the all-time beatdowns the Patriots in the Belichick and beyond era? Not before that, but in those type of beatdowns, I'd say this is, I don't know if it's right up there, but it feels significant.
It feels significant in part because I think, no disrespect to host one, it countered the significant week one win. We felt
sure.
Like that, and I agreed with you. As much as I mock you, that was big to get off to a good start. Now, that may be part of the problem. Maybe they won too soon and were like, mm-hmm. Oh, what do these idiots know about the O-line and the issues and the problems? We can do this. We can coach it up. Who says we're young coaches that don't know what we're doing or haven't been in the situation before? But I thought this coming on, the gag job seems strong. Gag job was more the Ravens, but, you know, a little bit of a choke this week when you gave away a lead at home. Mm-hmm. It could have won a football game, could have been 2-0, couldn't deal with the success and that situational failure at the end there. And then you go on the road and just lay an egg where not only did you get your ass kicked, but Jacoby Brissett also brought up energy. We got to get our energy back. Like, we didn't even have energy. And that's on the coach. That's on the culture. That's where things start to get questioned, right? Where, oh, he's a player's coach and the culture he's setting.
Right.
Well, they screwed around all week and fell on their faces on Thursday night. They embarrassed themselves on you can't even say national TV, national streaming.
right.
So no one actually saw you on the pregame because it wasn't real TV. It wasn't even cable.
Well, people around here saw it on Fox.
Oh, yeah, true. Around here they saw it. But nationally.
So there was that. But nationally.
You didn't go national. You're just a local celebrity.
Not as much as I would have liked to. That's true. But at least I was on there. Anyway, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We will get back to your phone calls right now. Let's go to Kurt, who is down on the Cape. Go ahead, Kurt. Kurt?
Kurt!
Yes, how you doing?
Hi, Kurt.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good. We're doing great, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing awesome.
Terrific.
A little disappointing, but I knew it was coming because of the Swiss line cheese of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, Cincinnati game gave me hope, you know, because yeah. I thought they'd beat a decent team. And then here we go to the same thing. But now, listen, we've got no touchdowns. We've got no nothing. We got now no running game. Now we have no nothing. Receivers that have caught nothing. 3 points in a game on a Thursday night. I know it was a short week, but he has a real serious problem. I don't know, like you said, we all talk about the Jets, how they got their offensive line ready for Rodgers. Look at him last night. He was magnificent.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Kurt. Thanks for the call.
It's 5 o'clock.
I'll let him go for a little bit.
How you doing?
Hey, Kurt's having a better day than I am. That's for sure. Yep. He's like, my day's okay. It's like, no, you're having a great day, Kurt. The thing that he said that stuck out the most is, you know, these were the type of offensive efforts you saw last year, okay? And you had a few towards the end, the Bailey Zappi at the end there, you know, the 6-0 game, that Chargers game, which was so bad, the Jets game, Belichick's last game at Gillette, or his last game period, I guess. I mean, there were some ugly, crappy offensive efforts. And after the Bengals game, you thought maybe it was going to be different. Maybe there was going to be just a bounce back from those guys, from Mac being gone, from Bill being gone, from a new day here at Gillette, and the players who are ready to run through a wall, motivated for their new coach. And now it's starting to look just like an extension of last season. I mean, that's really what it looked like. It looked like a 2023-24 Patriots game last night is what it most resembled. And that is something you really got to get away from.
And maybe worse, because first of all, where's the offense that everybody guaranteed me would be better? Because the quarterback position was going to be better. Everybody. I heard it nonstop this summer. I mean, we know the offense will be better because we know quarterback will be better. Why? It doesn't look better to me just because he's not turning the ball over. But I will say this might be the worst combo of offense and defense because you didn't throw
I'd agree with
pick
that.
Sixes,
yeah.
Right? There were no pick six. There was a fumble, but you didn't give them points. Like, it wasn't heavily momentum-wise.
They went on long drives to get their points.
Yeah, they drove it down your throat, and you could do nothing offensively. So, like, that's a really bad combo for this butt whoop, and this was well deserved by both sides of the ball. This was, I don't think you can, there'll be no finger pointing, there'll be no calling out of, oh, if only they had done this. So, like, the defense was on the field a lot, in part because the offense wasn't, but also in part because, as you said, they couldn't get off the field.
Right.
You know, there's some responsibility on Mina Kimes' favorite defense to be able to tackle and get off the field and get out, you know, have a mix of three and out in somewhere. So, This is a, the more I think about it, the worse I think this loss is.
Yeah. I just thought of another ass whooping, and that was against the Bills, Max rookie year in the
31-0. Oh,
that was, an ass whooping.
Yeah.
31-0. You're talking about the Drew Bledsoe game.
Yeah.
That was an ass whooping, but they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. So it wasn't that bad.
This won't work that way.
I don't think it's going to happen that way for this team either. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I said the Drew Bledsoe game. That was the Lawyer Malloy game, right?
The Lawyer Malloy game. But
that's what it was, yeah.
You bring up the Bills playoff game. That was a colossal one. And that one, I don't want to pat myself on the back like I usually leave that to the callers to tell me how smart I am. But
today, jeez.
That was one of my best ever. I remember being on with Mutt at Night and telling him, he asked me, and I said, this is as sure as I've ever been that the Patriots are going to get their ass whooped. I see no way this game goes any way other than the Bills whooping their butt, and that's what happened. And
That put a damper on what was a pretty good season, too, you know? Like, that was a season that Patriots fans really had something to be happy about, and then they go out there and that happens, and it was like, ugh.
How about the Bears game with Mac Jones getting benched a few years ago?
That was a bad one, too. That was an ugly game, no question.
The Bills playoff game, almost made it so you didn't want to say they went to the playoffs. Because then if you say they went to the playoffs, you had to acknowledge what happened when you made the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Like, you were not a contender, you were a pretender. And people were kind of in a weird situation. Like, are they good or was that just the worst ass whooping? I kind of want to pretend they finished the regular season with a winning record kind of thing. And like Mac didn't suck. Although Mac wasn't actually terrible in that game. He might have been.
No, he played okay. He had a decent game. He was one of the few Patriots that showed up. And then, you know, you looked at the last seven games of the regular season. It's not like Mac necessarily tore it up there either.
No.
The win streak came earlier on in the year. But, yeah, that was another one. That's another example.
Didn't the Bills have a
phenomenon.
Perfect game? Like, they scored a touchdown on every drive except the one they kneeled down on?
I think A touchdown or a field goal, I think.
It was the two. They played them in December that year and then the playoffs. And I think both of them were.
No, but I think in that playoff game, they scored a touchdown every single drive.
It was a touchdown every drive?
I think it was 7-for-7 on touchdowns. They missed like a couple extra points or something.
Memories.
See, last night wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't as bad as that. That's true. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls next, and we'll hear that great montage from Brian Frazoco of just how much of a disaster we saw at the Meadowlands last night. Patriots getting smoked by the Jets. We continue to react with you right here on WEEI.
Tonight, Sox and Twins.